Hello everyone and welcome back to Private Education, the Smart Sex and Relationships podcast. It's me, Aisling, again. I'm here every Friday. This is where I live. I live in your ears, in iTunes land or Spotify land or wherever you're listening. So I was having a little think recently. Happy Valentine's Day, by the way, if you're listening on Friday. It is the 14th February. And I've heard a lot of rumours that there's going to be a rake of proposals from girls to guys today because it's a leap year. Now, look, that's a mad old tradition, but it's still happening. We're still hopping on the let's propose to our fella bandwagon. And I just like, I kind of think, you know, you should be able to propose to your fella or your girlfriend or whoever. Well, maybe not whoever. Anytime you want. It doesn't have to be a leap year. But I've had a lot of messages from people looking for like advice on proposals and stuff like that. So that's how I know. I'm in the know. I was having a think recently and I wanted to do something. I keep getting these like emails, statistics and information about sex and relationships, because as the presenter of a sex and relationships podcast, people are starting to send me these things now. So I wanted to do something kind of topical and timely. So I was thinking like a once a month kind of up to date, timely feature. And I thought, I need to get a regular guest. I need to get someone who's going to hop on board all these current things and talk about them every month. So I've decided to call this regular episode The Current Affair. So The Current Affair by Private Education. And my regular guest, my first ever regular, official regular contributor is the lovely Andrea Doyle.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, guys.
Andrea is my pal. And you see, we have great chats, right? And a part of the thing, like anytime Andrea's ever been on the podcast, she's come on to talk about dating and stuff in the past. And I've always had such good feedback. And I also think you have a fantastic voice for the airwaves.
Well, thank you.
And she's also like got a PhD, which I think it brings a bit of intellectual weight to the podcast.
Big weight on my shoulders.
So Andrea Doyle is going to be here once a month or so for The Current Affair. I wish we had music.
I forget that it's an audio medium because I was dancing.
She was dancing. Yes, she was. Okay. So first of all, right, we did just to launch straight into some Valentine's Day content. Get that good walk. You didn't finish the word.
No, I didn't.
Who knew where that was going? We did some polls. We love a poll on Private Education. If you've listened before, if you're a regular listener, you'll know that I poll the living shit out of my followers. Gotta get them stats on Instagram. So these are the polls. So I asked, do you do Valentine's Day? I just realised I put in a random, anyway, I made a typo. But look, do you do Valentine's Day when you're in a relationship? So how many respondents did I have? I had nearly 1,600 respondents, and 69% said...
What? Sorry, penny dropped real slow there.
Yeah, you're meant to be a doctor.
Sorry, force of gravity not working. Anyway, here we are. Go on.
So do you do Valentine's Day when you're in a relationship? 69% said not really.
I think that's shocking. I think that's one of the nice things when you're in a relationship to know that that's happening. I suppose it's because you're single and you're like, what? Buy myself a rose or buy myself a girl. But you know, it's like a given.
What? That you're going to have a romantic day?
No, that you want a little bit of romance. It doesn't have to be like, I don't expect like rose petals as soon as I open my shagging eyes. Like, I just mean, do you know, like something.
Yeah.
Like a card at least.
Well, yeah, this was the next question. Okay. So then I said, do you expect to get at least a card?
Well, yeah.
And then 62% of people said, yes, absolutely.
You can't have it both ways.
I know. So literally 69% of people are like, no, don't really do Valentine's Day. But then 62% are like, but you better get me a bleeding card.
Yeah, you see, that's mixed messages.
It is. It is mixed messages. But I have to say, I would be one of the people who quite enjoys Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Now, having said that, and this was another poll that I did, I would rather shave off my eyebrows, my prized possessions, rather than go out for dinner on February 14th.
Absolutely, and I totally agree with that.
That's I would rather die.
When I say romance, that's not what I'm referring to, because you can go for dinner any day of the year. You can do that any weekend.
When I asked, like, do you do Valentine's Day? I don't think that's what people... I don't think people meant, like, do you go out? I think people just were like, no, I don't really do it. Like, I don't really care. Because I've been like that in the past. I've been like, I don't really care about Valentine's Day. But then if Valentine's Day came... and there wasn't a flower or a card or a chocolate to be seen, I'd be like,
very nervous.
Well, you know. So 89, a staggering 89% of people said that they would rather not go out on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, I completely understand.
And 11 people would be like, no, we'll go out.
But it's the same with all the big days. When you go out on a day like that, the service is like, hey, in you come, sit down. Okay, you have an hour, bye.
Yeah,
do you know that type of way?
And there's like ridiculous Valentine's Day menus where you can have like... a choice of either salmon or a different kind of salmon.
Yeah.
And then you can have, for main course, you can have chicken or a different kind of chicken.
And then you bet yourself there's going to be some chocolate-shaped
and then like
dessert.
Yeah, some kind of chocolate-shaped. Do you mean heart-shaped?
Yeah.
Dr. Andrea Doyle, everybody. No, but you know, there definitely is some kind of like love heart-shaped scenario. But then like, I bet the third course is probably tea and coffee. No, they fool you.
Oh, yeah.
They tell you, they bring you in the door. It's a 5-course meal and you're like, yeah, but one of the courses is you're welcome. And one of them is your tea. So no, one of the courses is tap water or still water or sparkling water. Okay, so the next poll I did was, I asked, would you consider yourself a romantic person? And 71% said yes, and 29% said no, not really.
I'm baffled if these are the same people that answered the previous questions.
I'm confused.
They don't want romance, but they want a card. But they're romantic.
But they won't go out on Valentine's Day. But they're...
Again, signals are...
mixed.
There are lines crossed.
And then the last one was, I asked people to tell me their romantic stories. And this is one of the reasons I know there's about to be some proposals. I won't ruin anybody's proposal. Not going to read anybody's names out. So let me see. There's a story here. My dad is a hopeless romantic. He planned a New Year's Eve Skype date with his girlfriend that lived in Canada at the time. He told her he had to be home at a certain time because he told her she had to be home at a certain time because he was getting flowers delivered. Her doorbell rings. He says,
what?
Oh yeah. The doorbell rings at the time he says that, but he's standing at the end of the stairs with flowers. She couldn't believe it because he already had flights booked to go over 2 weeks later. Well, this girl's dad, romance.
Well, hang on though. Can I just interject here with some romance that I witnessed with my own eyeballs?
Oh my, please, Jesus, please do. I saw this on your Instagram.
My mum and dad are the cutest.
They're so cute.
They're such a cute couple. So they've been together for like a long time. And the other morning I came.
I'm not prepared
for this. I can't, like,
try
to make tea, right? Just to get my day started. And there was a post-it note written and it had like the date on it.
Nice.
And like the date of their first date. And it was like, happy 35th anniversary of our first date. Love you. And then on the other
and
one.
Who was that from? Your dad?
That was from my mum.
Oh, from your mum.
And then my dad wrote.
On a different post-it.
On a different
post-it. At a later moment.
As a response. Same to you. Love you, honey. And then does his token thing when he writes a card to anybody like close. He does like a pyramid of X's and O's and underneath it. And the two of them are just left there at the kettle for unsuspecting me that hour of the morning. Couldn't handle.
I can't, like that ambulance that you can hear in
that's
the background.
For me.
It's for us because we're not
35 years later and the romance is still alive. You see, this
that's
is what I
the
mean.
Dream.
And it's a post-it. That's what I mean by romance. I don't need you to, you know, wake me up with like breakfast in bed and a rose and a thing.
Yeah.
No, just be romantic.
A romantic post-it.
Cute.
Conversely, the very antithesis of a romantic post-it. Do you remember in Sex and the City when what's his name? Burger broke up with Carrie via post-it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I can't. Don't hate me.
Yeah. And there's
fuck
also
off,
a romantic post-it in Grey's Anatomy as well. That's
is there?
Behind Meredith and...
I didn't know that because I'm not a Grey's Anatomy fan.
Anyway, post-its. Who knew? Post-its are romance.
Who knew?
Buy a pack of post-its. Happy Valentine's Day.
Seriously, I know. Like, if there's any men, listen to this. Post-its. Write a post-it, stick it on the bathroom mirror.
Conversely, if there's any women that get a post-it for Valentine's Day, hashtag we're sorry.
Yeah, we apologise. It should have been flowers.
It should have been.
Yeah. Drawing flowers onto a post-it and sticking it on a bathroom mirror? No.
Oh.
I mean, you know.
get arty. Who knows? Anyway.
35 years into your relationship, post-its are great.
I think
I'm going to say. Yeah. Like a romantic post-it to commemorate your 35th anniversary of your first date.
Like a little, I was thinking of you this morning and I left you a note, you know?
That's so cute.
But the fact that my dad responded via post-it.
Yeah. Yeah, like the logistics of that, I can't even, you know, how did he know she was going to find it? Anyway, look, we'll move on. So there's another one here that says, I'm proposing to my boyfriend on February 29th. Anonymous. Then another one here that says, guess what I'm doing on the 29th of February? Winky face, winky face, winky face, heart.
Oh.
And then she follows up by saying, proposing to me fella. And she actually says, me fella.
I love that.
With a flash mob.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. And a band.
Where?
I don't know.
Not over her. We need to see that.
I know. I was like, please, bring a video camera.
It's going to be put, like, it's a flash mob. Yeah, you know what I mean? He's going to be unsuspecting. Unless it's like a, in a, no, I don't think it could be. Let's find out.
I'm very excited for this girl. Yeah, I'm going to get back to her actually. Okay, let's see what else. Oh, this is someone else says, sent myself flowers to work one year on Valentine's Day because I wanted to make the guy I fancied in work think he had competition. It didn't work, but I loved the flowers. Oh, fair play. Fair
From me
play.
To me.
Okay, what else? Oh, this is nice. My boyfriend framed screen grabs of our first conversation and our conversation a year later.
Well.
That is cute.
Get out of town.
That's sweet.
See, there you go. There's romance again.
There's romance. And also.
Frame.
Cheap
printing.
Romance. Like, this you get a frame for €5 in IKEA.
Romance.
I remember a friend of mine once. Now, the details of this are a bit sketchy because my memory is not what it used to be.
Okay.
But when I was in college, a friend of mine, two friends of mine, they were in a couple. And one of them, he wrote down 365 things that he loved about her and put them, ripped them all up into individual things and put them in a jar so that for the whole year,
she'd have some
every
nice
day. She'd have a little here.
I did that for someone before.
Did you?
I made a, so I was not working a lot, so I didn't have a lot of money. So I made a sentimental hamper. So one of them was a jar with 365.
Sorry, you're a sentimental hamper for doing that. I know who you did
God.
That for.
And updating my LinkedIn profile. Sentimental hamper.
Doctor of physics, sentimental hamper.
And then another thing I did, idea guys, is I got a deck of cards and it was like 52 reasons why I love you. So like, could you flick through? Yeah, there's fun things you can do, like just to,
yeah,
you know, on the cheap side, that does show someone that you do care.
Jeez, I'd better get my act together. I bought my husband a book.
Spoiler.
He knows it was a book because I put it up on Instagram because I wrapped it sustainably.
Oh, I remember.
Do you remember? I sustainably wrapped it. I got very, you see, I have to be very organized because I knew I was going to have a busy month ahead, what with like Rogue launching and all this kind of stuff. So I knew I was going to have a lot going on in Feb. And it's also my birthday on Monday, listeners.
Well, listen.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, if you wanted to swing by and say happy birthday to me, I wouldn't be sad about that. I really enjoy a birthday, to be honest, don't I?
Mm.
Yeah. So, my birthday's on the 17th of February, and I think we're both after shitting ourselves because something just rattled in the corner.
Cool.
Sorry.
Loft ghost.
I was thinking more along the lines of loft mouse or maybe rat.
Well, I hope it's a mouse. Mouse seems less.
Yeah, I can handle a mouse.
And definitely would be in a loft.
And I you can't see this, but my feet are now lifted off the ground. Oh, my nerves. Yeah. Okay, let's get back to it. This one is fantastic and very romantic. My boyfriend met me at the airport with a burrito because he knew it'd make me more happy than with flowers.
Knowing you're our target audience.
Absolutely.
Good guy.
I mean, anyone wants to meet me anywhere with a burrito, whether you're my other half or not, I'll take it.
Look, can of Coke Zero. Easily pleased. No, take that back. Donut.
I have a thing from you here. I have a response from you. She's shaking her head.
This isn't romance.
I'm just going to read it. We won't go into it, but I am going to read what you've written.
Okay.
Because that's for public consumption. I've got a romantic, almost A&E story featuring a sexy French maid's outfit that resulted in a bloody scene. And then the peace sign emoji. Interesting.
We'll pass that there.
Yeah, we will. We'll say nothing more. Okay, what else have I got here? Spent my first Valentine's with a basket waiting in a police station on him being released after breaking a window with a snooker ball. worked the next 10 days in hospitality. Safe to say, I don't do Valentine's Day.
All right. Sounds like you're doing it wrong.
My nerves, my bad nerves. Okay, got flowers to work with a card saying, days like this come once a year. Ladies like you are one a lifetime.
Oh.
I don't know how I feel about the word ladies there.
Yeah.
Like women maybe. Girls.
You
loves
are once
you are once in a lifetime. I love it. It's like, ladies like you. Like it just sounds.
Ladies.
Yeah. And then let's see. Oh, this one's cute. When my husband proposed, he got our 5-year-old son to ask me, would I marry his daddy?
No.
That's cute.
It's too pure.
It's pure. So those are the romantic. Yeah. Those are the romantic stories. It's been a long week, people. And those are the poll results. So like we're kind of mixed messages. We're 69 of us are like, we don't really care about Valentine's Day. But then the same amount are like, but you better get me a card. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're out in your ear.
Hell to pay.
Yeah. Okay. So now we're going to talk about, I got some statistics into my email recently. It was basically an email from Bumble. And it was called Bumble Dating Trends 2020, right? So here we are. We're going to have a chat. So which of the following, these are some of the results. Which of the following do you look for in a partner? 73%, someone who I'm attracted to. Well, Jesus, I should hope so.
That's also a visual app. So
and can
what
we talk
would you
about,
be doing?
But it, not even on the app, but I think just in general, what okay. you look for in a partner. 73%, someone I'm attracted to. I don't know the maths on this. You're more mathematical than I am. What's
27.
27% of people are like, I don't need to be attracted to you. I'll just stick it in anyway. What?
It depends. Look, we don't know the context of what those people are looking for.
Well,
to each their own.
But like, someone I'm attracted to, that's like the basic thing.
I mean,
no?
What are you doing otherwise?
I agree.
I know. Yeah, I know. Maybe they spoil their vote. I don't know how that works.
Look, there's been a lot of voting going on lately. We're all very tired. Yeah. It's election season. Maybe this wasn't a great idea. okay, 53% would like someone who knows what they want. I like that.
I do like that. That's I do like stuff. That. Yeah. And I don't think that's something that people think about until they have been with someone that they did know what they wanted. Do you
yes.
know what I mean?
Yes,
so
100%.
I think that's probably why that's not higher.
Mm. 61% want someone who shares my values, which I am a big
believer
in. I really think that you have to have, you don't have to be the same. You don't have to have the same hobbies. You don't have to have the same upbringing. You don't have to have the same type of family. But the way you feel about your values and your morals need to be somewhat aligned. Would you
referring
agree?
To your wedding speech, the big stuff.
The big stuff.
It's the big stuff that needs to matter. And then all the small details don't. They don't matter. Like,
yeah.
You know, you might get hung up on them maybe once or twice a year, or there could be, but it's not going to fundamentally shake the relationship.
No. 4% want someone who has a compatible star sign with them.
And I have to say, those dating apps encourage that because that's one of the things that you can
that
put
you
up.
Can put up. Yeah. But I also don't think that, I mean, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say star signs are not an exact science. What do you think, doctor?
I'm going to agree.
I know you agree.
Strongly
on that.
Agree.
Strongly agree. Come down on the side of strongly agree. But 4% of people wanting their star signs to be compatible. I mean, to be honest, I thought that might be a bit higher because I know there's a lot of people who are like, the first thing they ask is like, what's your star sign?
Mm.
Because they really attach a lot of meaning to the time of your birth.
Yeah.
The month of your birth or the whatever of your birth.
And again, people have different values.
Each to your own.
To each their own.
To each their own. Horses for courses.
Exactly.
Isn't that right?
Who among us?
What?
That's what I say.
What do you say?
Who among us? Like who among us should judge?
Right, yeah. Okay. I did not know what you said there.
Okay.
Okay. 17% say they're looking for someone who likes the same music as me.
Okay, that's obviously people that are, that's a big, see, but that's probably a big thing for them.
But you know what? Music is a big part of my life and it's not really a big part of my other half's life.
Yeah.
We all know about my flute playing past. No, I'm joking. That's no stop. But I am really into, I do really enjoy music and I DJ sometimes and all, you know, I really, it's a big part of my life. I'm always listening to music and my other half is kind of a bit ambivalent, like he's just a bit like, well, whatever.
But it's never an issue.
No,
so I think that's
no,
that could, you know, that's yeah. also contributing.
I mean,
to
I
that.
Do think if he was flat out playing, you know, death metal in the house for all the live long day, I'd yeah. probably have a problem with that.
Potentially,
you know. Okay, we'll scroll down. There's so much here. Like this is they've really studied, you know,
yeah.
things. This is an interesting statistic. 90% of all respondents stated that their Bumble profile is a true and accurate representation of them. 90%. So I'm going to go with at least 50% of those people are lying.
Would you agree? Yeah. Like, part of me, yes. Part of me, maybe they're thinking we've kind of cottoned on to filters and stuff now. So maybe they're thinking, no, I'm putting up more photos that are true to me. But you portray the best part of yourself. So you're not going to be like, you know, these are my worst bits.
Yeah. So, I snore like a train. Do you know? Because you're not going to get a date.
But at the same time, you don't say, I don't snore. Do you know what I mean? So you're kind of, you feel like you're fluffing.
Yeah. So you're telling selective truths.
Yeah, you're just being selective with the info.
But I don't know.
I understand though. Yeah.
Like a true and accurate representation of them. Like that's pictures. And also like my Instagram, if I ever go missing, do not send people to my Instagram to get a read on what I look like. Don't do it. Because I don't look like what I look like there. Because I only put myself up at the best of angles, in the best of lighting.
Absolutely.
Throw on a filter, you know, sometimes I use an app to make my hair bigger, full disclosure. And like, or my teeth whiter, you know, this kind of thing. Like, I think that must be rampant on Bumble. Because there's no earthly way, if I was setting up a Bumble account, that I'd take a selfie, you know,
on the fly.
No. Yeah. Like, you know those things. Sometimes I get absolutely scared of this. You know, when you're like setting up a new profile or something and it says to you, you know, upload a profile picture or take photo.
Who in this fresh hell is being like,
who in the world?
All right, here we go.
Who in the world has the, give me the confidence of someone who selects take photo now.
Take a fresh up to date.
I mean, hey, Cara Delevingne. She's the only one that could probably do it. Or maybe like, I don't know, who else is a babe? Like
Chrissy Teigen.
Like these sorts of like alien creatures from the planet Beauty.
Yeah.
I could never do that.
No.
I look like a potato 90% of the time.
No one would feel, not very few people. Let's say not to generalize everybody.
Although we do love a sweeping generalization. Ding, 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 ding.
We still need to get a bell.
We do need to get a bell. If there are any bell makers listening.
This is the second shout out when I've been a guest for bell makers.
But anyone would like to send us a bell.
Please, thanks.
Thank you.
I do. I think though, you know, like for instance, when I set up my dating profiles in the most recent time.
Yeah.
You helped me.
I did.
Because I wanted to look like the best version of myself,
yeah.
but also like myself.
Yeah.
Because
and sometimes it takes your friend to do that, to make it clear.
Absolutely. Like. So for anybody that is doing that, run them by. Just show them, like what I did was I created an album.
Yeah. And you gave me options. And I
gave
you
options and you picked the best ones.
Yes. So I said, this is the one that I think looks most like you.
Yeah.
In your truest form.
Exactly.
And like, they were all stunning pictures, but I picked ones that I thought represented you to your best. And the ones that I thought, if someone was to meet you, they wouldn't be like, well, that's not really what you look like.
Because those 10% of people that said that it's not a true representation of themselves, whatever that reason is, maybe it's not just visually, maybe it's stuff that they've said.
Yeah.
You don't want to walk into a date either being that 10% or being the other 90 and being like,
okay, so you're
that's not you.
Yeah.
You know?
Fair. Fair. So I've got another stat here from the Bumble Dating Trends 2020. This episode is not sponsored by Bumble.
Are you sure?
Like, I mean, I would love that. Hello, Bumble, if you're listening, sponsor us. Or, you know, anyone else that's listening
who wants to
sponsor us? Hello, guys. But yeah, okay. So the stat is this percentage of people regularly use, of course, there's someone ringing me. Sure, we'll just ignore that. This is the amount of people that regularly use emojis when they're messaging someone they fancy. So we're going by country here. So 91% of Germans go with an emoji. And I don't know why, because Germany have a word for everything.
They do. They've words that we don't even, they've words
so
we don't
why,
even have.
So why the hell are 91% of them relying on emojis?
Crack.
Fair. Well, the Germans. Are we relying on Germany for crack?
We're not relying on them, but I think they understand it.
No, they do. But like, if you were listing off the countries who are the most crack.
No. Yeah, fair.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, maybe it's efficiency. Maybe they're like, hey, I'll see you in the, and then
they throw a car. Oh my God.
Or they're like, I'm just getting my, and then they throw in a bike.
Yeah.
Or how are you feeling? And they just send a thumbs up. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe it is efficiency. They're not arsed saying,
but they were an efficient
I've had a great day today and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But they just throw a thumbs up in and they're like, bam.
Yeah.
Mic drop. Snap. Ireland, 77%.
Yeah, well,
so we love
crack.
An emoji. We love an emoji. And the rest are, yeah, in and around, like the Netherlands, 73%, the United Kingdom, 70%, I'll grant, you know, fine. 61% look for a, oh, we already read that one, Aisling, you idiot. 90% are happy to admit when they met a date online.
No, hang on, do that again. 90% are happy to admit when they met a date online?
Yeah, as in, what I would imagine is like if you end up dating someone or getting with someone.
Oh, yeah.
90% of people are happy to say, yeah, I met this person online.
Yeah.
Now, I think that's probably changed in the last few years. Would you?
As in it's gotten more or less?
More.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because before people were like, we met online.
Yeah, now it's the complete opposite. Yeah. If you meet somebody in the wild, as it were, it's more rare.
Yeah.
I think anyway.
Yeah.
From just, you know, being out there, being a single lady on the dating scene. Yeah, it's a lot less regular meeting somebody in the flesh at first, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and like, an app. Because, you know, maybe even like 5 years ago, people would have been like reluctant, I think, to say, well, I met him online.
And like, that used to be one of the things that you'd see on people's profiles. Oh, we'll say we met in Mass, or we'll say we met, you know what I mean? In Coppers, was like a little intro.
People don't mind. 90% of people are like happy out to do that. But do you think, like, I kind of feel like there used to be a bit more of a stigma.
Absolutely.
To online dating. And now it's just something that's part of
everyday life.
Yeah. And everyone's just like, and it's not a big deal if you're like, oh yeah, I'm on Bumble, or oh yeah, I'm on Tinder.
No, absolutely not. Whereas before you would have been like trying to hide it. And then if you seen somebody, there was always the thing of you seeing somebody that you knew and you'd be like, they know I'm on it now too, you know what I mean?
Yeah, oh my god.
So,
yeah, I never thought of that. And see, I mentioned Tinder there, so now you can know this is not sponsored by Bumble, because we love Tinder. Yeah, Hinge, we love Hinge as well. Plenty of Fish, anybody, you know, all the apps. 70% believe that getting to know a match online is an important step before meeting them in real life.
I think there is a threshold or like a sweet spot. You don't want to leave it too long, as personal experience, because you are, if you think of like online profiles and online chats before you meet somebody in person, obviously afterwards, you know, you kind of have a better judge of them.
Yeah.
But you're speaking to somebody's like online avatar almost. So it's like the best photos of them. They're being on their best behavior. You know what I mean? They're doing what they need to do to get you on a date.
And they're being like, but the crack could be 90.
Oh, I've had that.
But it actually doesn't translate in real life.
Because you kind of have a bit of time. You're not like you don't have to be on the ball. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And like, how do you know that like the person you're talking to isn't texting their friend being like, what will I say to this?
Or their friend isn't just replying
for them.
You know?
But
I think you do for safety. Okay, get to know them a little bit. And not even just for safety, to make sure that you actually do like them. Yeah, you've matched, you've both like the look of each other and maybe something that you've seen in someone's bio, but build up a bit of a rapport.
Yeah.
But maybe I think there's a sweet spot between like a week and 10 days.
Okay, yeah.
To do your first date.
Yeah, so you need to get in there pretty sharpish.
Yeah.
And like, I also think there's a thing where you could be having the banter with someone online, but then, and it could be flying. And in fairness, it could be all genuine. It could be like they are actually just good banter. I hate the word banter, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you meet them in real life and for whatever reason, you just don't have
chemistry.
Yeah. Like sexual chemistry and physical chemistry and, you know, all the kinds of chemistry that you need. Okay, so the next kind of statistic block here is, why do you use dating apps? 43% say to hook up with someone.
How old is the survey?
Fresh. I got it literally yesterday.
Okay. Because I would have thought that would have been a little bit less now.
I love how you're querying the stats. You're like, when was this carried out? I want to see the details.
Yeah, like, and I'm not, who among us?
Who among us?
Do you know
us?
What I mean? If that's who what you're using us? It for, great. But I just think people are, that would have been the initial kind of, you know, association people would have had with it. Or you're just doing that to hook up with someone or whatever. But people are now finding their partners and stuff like that online through dating apps.
But I still think there's a good chunk of people who are there just for hookups.
Well, so 43%. Yeah, there you go.
26% want to go on lots of dates.
Well, look.
Which is gas.
Yeah.
I want to go on lots of dates.
Lots.
All give them. Me the dates.
Serial dater.
29%, interestingly, use dating apps to make friends.
But there is like Bumble BFF.
Yeah, but this specifically says dating apps.
Yeah.
Like, I would never, well, obviously, I mean, I'm married, so I won't be using dating apps, but I would never go on to a dating app to make friends. I would go on to a friendship app if I was short of a friend, but look, I had 8 bridesmaids. I actually have no availability for new friends.
No, thank you. Yeah, yeah.
And then 65% want to meet a long-term partner, which is a good thing. Yeah. And then 64% say they want to use dating apps to meet people they otherwise wouldn't have met.
And I think that's which a really big thing that dating apps let you do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And then the next one kind of... these are country statistics again. And this is, I need to go on a certain number of dates before I sleep with someone.
Oh.
Yeah. And the percentages for this. So we have... Ireland are the highest at 51%. So 51% of people are like, hold your horses there, yeah, my friend. I'm not going to ride you until we've had X number of dates.
Why did you think we were so British?
Well, we are. Well. 51% of us. England just behind us. Sorry, I shouldn't say England. The United Kingdom just behind us, 47%. Spain, 35%.
Look.
The Spanish are like, olé. Let's do this.
Yeah.
That's such a... is that racist against Spanish people?
No.
To say olé? What does olé even
olé
mean?
No.
Like olé, 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 olé.
I think it means like... Woo.
Spanish. I think Spanish lady. Whoop.
No, it's not Spanish lady. Olé doesn't mean Spanish lady.
No.
Oh, you mean the emoji.
Emoji. You know the lady in olé. The flamenco dress, yeah. Or flamenco dress or whatever. Yeah. Okay. Germany, 37%. The Germans are flat out trying to, you know, sleep with you. Emojis. They don't need... Yeah, the emojis work.
That eggplant news emoji flash is from flat Germany. Out.
And France are up with 48%, so they're near us, I think.
Yeah.
Of all the countries, it's the French who are least open to discussing their sexual preferences.
Really?
Yeah.
That would be...
I'm confused by that.
Yeah, that would be kind of confusing and...
Yeah.
Shocking.
I think I'm a little bit
surprised.
Yeah. And the rest of the countries who are happily... how many people are happy to openly discuss their sexual preferences? Ireland, 87%, so we're pretty comfortable.
Yeah.
Netherlands, 90%. Spain, 92%. Oh, there we are. Olé. Yeah.
Olé.
Hello again.
Yes.
Let's see what else. 95%. This is a nice statistic. 95% think that a relationship is as much about their personal growth as it is supporting their partner's personal growth.
Well, there we are now.
That
very woke.
That is a very woke, mature statistic.
Cohort of people that they ask those questions
like,
to.
Yeah. I was really hoping for more like dick size statistics,
yeah,
and like, you know, how many minutes do you spend riding and stuff, but obviously no.
Yeah, that's a really good one though. That's a really positive one.
Ooh, have you ever been ghosted?
Oh, here we
are. Would you like these stats?
Give me them.
Interesting. We are getting ghosted by the truckload in Ireland.
I could have told you that. Articulated lorry worth of.
We are absolutely ghosts. Getting ghosted out of it, lads. So out of all of the countries here that were surveyed, 79% of people in Ireland have been ghosted.
Yeah.
Versus Spain's 57. So what we've just figured out there is there's a correlation.
Olé, olé, olé.
Olé, olé, olé. If you put out, you don't get ghosted.
No.
Okay, no, that's
very
we
bad.
Take it back. We take it back.
Very bad advice.
But do you know what I mean? Like the Spanish are very flahuluk with the talking about the sex and the doing the sex and the not waiting too
the
long.
Doing the sex, yeah.
And then they're not getting ghosted.
They're not
as
getting
much.
Ghosted. Yeah. Maybe with our.
Do not take that advice home. That is
no,
bad advice.
That's just we're drawing all sorts of conclusions here
bad
now that are founded on you know. But maybe it's because they're a lot more comfortable and upfront about what they want. And maybe with people that are like, no, and I'm not going to do this and I'm not going to do that, when really they maybe want to, or you know, that kind of way, it's just leading to people being like, I hear you, don't know what you want, bye.
Yeah, fair.
And it's easier to peace out silently than, you know what I mean?
That makes a lot of sense.
Look,
I
am science.
You are science. Okay, the next one. Germans are saying no to booze when it comes to a first date, unlike their French counterparts.
Well.
So look, the French are flat out on the wine and the Germans are like, I'd rather not, thank you.
Have a little coffee.
I'm going to have a cough. These are the different preferences for where you want to go on a first date. So in Ireland, 36% of us want to be taken for drinks. 33% of us want to go for a quick coffee. 17% want to go for dinner, which I think makes sense because you don't want to be going on a first date where you really don't know the person and you're sitting down with them for a 3-course meal.
True.
And be stuck there.
Yeah. If I've ever gone for food with somebody, it's never been like dinner. It's been
dinner.
Like, will we grab something
like,
to eat?
We'll get a Brunson or we'll get
Or we've drank and then eaten. You
okay,
know, that
I'm
way
picking,
it's not,
yeah,
we don't necessarily just jump into like a sitting at a table facing each other, waiter standing there being like, what would you have?
And the thing is, and something that a pal of mine used to do, which I think is genius, what she used to do was when she was dating, she's not dating anymore, but when she was, she would organise to meet a guy for a drink. And what she'd do was she'd say, look, we'll meet here because I have a work thing I have to go to for a couple of hours tonight, right? Obviously fake work thing. And she'd meet them. And if it was going really well, she'd say, ah, look, I'll just skip the work thing. It's fine. I don't really need to go. But if it was going horrifically and she wanted to leave, she'd be like, look, I really have to go to this work thing. I'm so sorry to have to leave.
Exit strategy.
Exit strategy.
Because that wouldn't work. Can I just interject here?
Yeah.
If, right, so if somebody did that to me, mm-hmm. obviously mm-hmm. not knowing, you wouldn't know one way or another
yeah.
if it was true or not. Yeah. But if someone said to me either of that, so if someone was like, hi, I have to go and meet work after, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
Or like, I don't know what, it doesn't matter about work. But if that was a friend, be careful, be warned. I would judge someone if they were like, ah, oh, listen, I won't meet the lads, I'll just stay here. No, that's a red flag.
That's the thing.
Do you know what I mean?
We did discuss that and I said, yeah, because you don't want to tell your first date that you're cancelling on a friend to
no.
stay with them. That's bad news bears. So that's why she said it's like a work thing.
Yeah.
And be, was very vague about it. And also you don't mind someone, like you're not going to judge someone for cancelling a boring work event for staying out on a date, but you are going to judge, it's setting a bad precedent.
Yeah.
To be like, I don't care about my friends. I'm going to
stay here,
cancel on them and stay with you. So I think that's why she picked
the work thing.
Specific. Yeah. Which is, I mean, I thought she was,
that's really good.
Was really
clever. That's really good. Yeah.
And yeah, the statistics of this. So in Germany, only 16% want to go for drinks, 18% want dinner, and 35% want coffee. So there's a lot of coffee. And now, oh, Jesus, hello, over in France there, 52% of people want to get hammered.
Yeah.
20% want coffee and only 13% want dinner. Interesting. It's an interesting spread. Oh, some new dating terms. What have we got here?
Oh, bring it.
Slow love. Gen Z and millennials are marrying later, taking more time to find stability in a relationship before settling down. Interesting.
Yeah, and I think that kind of harps back to that 95% that are like, I want this to add to my life as opposed to be my life.
Totally.
You know?
Totally. Completely agree.
Yeah.
The next one is situationship.
Oh.
Do you know what that means?
Yeah.
Do you? I don't. Well, I mean, this is what Bumble say. Anyway.
I think I do. Tell me what they...
Bumble say, the space between a committed relationship and something that is more than a friendship. On the one hand, removing the pressure of putting parameters on what the relationship is and isn't can be freeing as long as both parties are okay with leaving things open.
Yeah. So both parties leaving things open, there needs both. To be the key.
I love how you're like, I've been burned before with these situationships. Chirpsing.
Do you mean?
Okay. Mother of God. What does this mean? Slang for chatting up. The chase. This sounds like something that would come off Love Island.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
Are you chirpsing?
Yeah.
You know? Sorry, I can't do British accents or London accents or any of them accents. Basically trying to get with someone more in a dating sense than a hookup sense.
Okay.
So
okay.
like the chatting them up, chasing them.
Okay.
Trying to woo them, I suppose, to be very old school about it. Demisexual. A person who does not experience sexual attraction unless they form a strong emotional connection with someone.
Oh, okay.
Fair.
Yeah.
A deep like. When you scroll through your crushes or potential date's social media profile and like very, very old photos, either intentionally or accidentally.
I think the accidentally probably happens more often than.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or there's some
absolutely.
People, I know somebody that will do that to be like, yeah.
To get noticed.
I go back that far and yeah, I like what I see. Which I think is
ballsy.
Yeah.
That is ballsy.
Yeah.
Although I've been wanting to cancel the word ballsy and start using a vagina related word because I actually think vaginas are much stronger organs. Ovi. It's very ovi. No, because ovi just reminds me of Love Island last year. I miss ovi. Okay. A deep like.
Which could be a deep risk.
That was a Freudian slip. A deep like. Risks letting someone know that you're not only interested in them, but you also spent time researching them. That's a bit creepy.
Well, like,
I mean, a bit creepy. If I opened Instagram now and I saw
a like from way back when,
someone from college liking my picture from 2014, I'd be like,
questions.
Oh, what were they doing on a long scroll?
Yeah.
You know, so, oh yeah, catch feels. That's another one. I mean, this is not new to Bumble.
No, but
catching feels. Like, that song came out 3 summers ago or something, didn't it? Was it Calvin Harris and Katy Perry?
It was. Well, definitely Katy Perry, anyway.
And Pharrell, he was on there.
Yeah, he was.
Short for catching feelings. Thank you, Bumble. You see, you know, if this episode was sponsored by Bumble, I couldn't slag them off like no. this. But don't be condescending now. Yeah, and there's a quote here, like a fake made up quote. I've been speaking to this girl I met on a dating app. I think I'm about to catch feels.
Oh,
that sounds like something who wrote a ridiculously like terrible ad for catching feels.
Yeah, I think that person goes on a deep, like,
to catch feels. No, if someone said that to me now, I'd be like, please
don't
ever text me feels. Again. Get rid of those feels and move away, move country. So yeah, okay, that's pretty much we've mined the stats there. There's another bit of news. A newsworthy thing. I'm going to try find it here. It's about erectile dysfunction.
Okay. All right.
I haven't. Here we are. I haven't actually run this by you.
No, this is fresh info. So,
and it's also kind of fresh to me. And it's I got this email in. Now this is the caliber of emails that I get now as a sex and relationships podcast presenter. Revealed. This is what it says. Oh, and it also starts with an eggplant emoji.
Well,
so you know it's going to be a very
German?
Formal. No. It's very formal. Eggplant emoji. And then revealed. How sexual dysfunction affects male adult entertainers.
Oh, well, hang on. What did they define as an entertainer? Let's find out.
Andrea's like, I was entertained yesterday. Do they have to strip? Or a unique study has been conducted to investigate the sexual function of male adult entertainers and published by the Department of Urology at the University of Miami. We spoke to Justin Dubin, I'm going to say.
Dubin.
Treated.com spoke to Dr. Justin Dubin. Dr. Justin Dubin, can he please change his name? Dr. Mark Johnson, the lead investigator of the recent study, and Dr. Daniel Atkinson, clinical lead for the online pharmacy grant. Right, so here we are. Here are the stats. I'm going to hit you with the stats. 42% of young male adult entertainers surveyed reported erectile dysfunction that was at least moderate in nature.
Sorry.
Jeez, that's a lot.
That's a lot. These are like...
Now, can we talk about male entertainers here?
Yeah.
I presume we're talking about strippers.
Yeah.
I presume we're not talking about people who are like in bands and stuff.
Yeah.
I caught up with that.
I planned to go, I was like, Okay.
No, I think they mean. Yeah. They mean, sorry. Like strippers.
Magic Mike-esque.
Exactly.
Okay.
Except maybe a little bit further, because I'm thinking, so when a male entertainer gets his full kit off.
Yeah.
A boner is required.
Yeah.
Right. So I think what they do, I remember, I don't know where I was. But there was an elastic band.
Yeah. I've heard of that as well. So yeah. I think they're actually injuring themselves.
I think so too.
I think as much as it's probably psychological dysfunction as well, because you're like, I have to get hard every day for multiple times for my work.
Yeah. So that was your job. Sorry.
And then you're like going home and you're just like, and here we go again.
Yeah.
Fucking bringing the work home with you.
But like the way a gynecologist can be like, oh, if I look at another vagina today.
Yeah. But also maybe if they are using mechanical help or aids to keep it going, that's like actually interfering with their ability.
True.
So I think it could be a two-pronged approach.
A two-pronged approach to adult entertainer floppy dick. Just under 70% of adult entertainers surveyed reported having erectile dysfunction that was at least moderate in nature. Oh, sorry. This 42% statistic was young male adult entertainers. 70% of, I guess, average age.
Yeah, so like
young is like 18 to 25, I'd say. So we're talking 25 and over here.
Okay, that's worrying.
That is 70%.
Yeah, because like that is when they
70%.
Like if you're thinking about it, towards the end of their career, who are we to say when they're planning on having kids?
Yeah,
but you know what I mean. The older they get, they're probably thinking of settling down, and then that's when they're experiencing their most challenging.
Mother
dysfunctions.
Okay, and 14% of male entertainers have used an aid for erectile dysfunction. I presume that means Viagra?
Probably.
Or like...
I don't know if
could be a pump.
Tools. Yeah.
Yeah, I think there are mechanical tools.
Yeah.
As well as chemical tools. And
like the...
I'm sorry. I'm completely messing this up here. 14% of the general population... use erectile dysfunction aids.
Oh.
So Viagra, pumps, whatever you're having yourself. And the statistic, conversely, from adult entertainers is 69%. Eyo. But no, that's a massive difference, yeah, isn't it? Like huge. 14%, like, so, you know, not much of the population versus nearly 70%.
Yeah.
69.4%.
But like, it's a hazard of the job.
Yeah, I suppose. Like, yeah, geez. Well, look, that's my career in male adult entertainment out the window.
The window.
I am not getting involved with...
I don't think it's a good idea.
Jesus. Yeah, Christ. There's so... Like, the normal public don't have, like... If you're 70 or older, you have like 70% of people. So basically, 70% of 70-year-olds or older have erectile dysfunction issues.
And which makes complete
Which makes total sense. Medical sense, yeah. I would imagine. I mean, I'm not a doctor, but I would imagine that's kind of standard. So essentially, if you are a male adult entertainer, you have the same rates of sexual dysfunction as a 70-year-old man.
Yeah, which is shockingly bad for...
Niche Keat, no. Yeah. I wouldn't want that.
No.
I mean, I don't have a willy, so I'm never going to have
to worry.
It's
not our problem.
It's not our issue
directly,
at the moment.
But
no.
I mean, God love them.
Yeah, I didn't
that's like
know.
A hazard of their workplace, their job, you
it
know?
It is, yeah. I wonder, do they get any compensation?
I don't know.
Or like if they give out free pumps in work.
Or Viagra.
Or free Viagra.
Like, and I don't know how they but work. I don't know if they like, if you can abuse them and they don't work. Mm. Do you know what I mean? And then they get to older in life and they're trying to have kids, or they're trying to just enjoy their own sex life and they can't because they've wasted it all on...
Yeah, they've entertained people with their dick.
That's sad. I'm sad for them.
I am sad for them too. So yeah, Andrea.
Hi.
Thank you for coming on and talking about the current affair.
Love it.
I need, like, look, I'm not, I'll bring in my flute next time and I'll do a little intro music.
We all heard that. We have to hold her to it.
No. Okay. Thank you so much for being my first ever regular contributor. You're going to be in next month.
Yeah.
And we're going to be talking about more
current
affairs.
Affairs. We could just echo each other. Current affairs.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's good. That is actually good.
That's better than...
And cut. Okay. Yeah, I meant to say as well, actually, tickets are still on sale for one of the nights. I've sold out one night, but there's still tickets on sale for one of the nights of Private Education Live. There's a few left. So if you're interested, go to @PrivateEducationPodcast on Instagram, and the link is there in the bio for tickets. And aside from that, thank you everyone so much for listening, for reviewing, for commenting. If you want to share the podcast link with a friend, I'm not going to stop you. And I also am going to just give a quick shout out to roguecollective.ie, which is the...
Hey, well done and congrats, because it's amazing.
Thank you. But it's a team effort. There's 12 of us in it. We're all working together really hard to create this amazing online platform for diverse voices, for writing, for video, for audio. And the podcast associated with roguecollective.ie is The Vulture Club, presented by Jen O'Dwyer and Sophie White. So if you want to have a listen to that, feel free. It's really good. And actually, as an aside, I was the first guest on talking about... what did I talk about? I talked about Love Hate and how I'm watching Love Hate again.
What?
Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah, brand new information. Okay. And I also talked about imposter syndrome, which which is my first piece on roguecollective.ie. So I talk about that on The Vulture Club with the gals. And we had great chats. So if any of that interests you, work away, feel free, head over there and subscribe. And until next week, enjoy Valentine's Day. I mean, it's 4 o'clock on Valentine's Day if you're listening to this fresh out the gate. So like, it's nearly over. Go and buy some post-its.
It's never too late for romance.
Thanks, Trey. So yeah, stay safe, have fun. And I shall talk to you next week. Goodbye.